Three, two, one, and welcome back to the SBH podcast. And in this podcast, we are going to be talking about getting my first big bass of spring, or really getting onto a bite of bigger bass this spring, and how I finally pulled it off and I managed to get some bigger bass. And it was funny because in the last podcast, I talked about this. I talked about fishing and seeing a lot of big bass around and having a very hard time getting them to actually eat. So patterning them down has been more difficult than I really anticipated. But then at the same time, I actually ended up beating my record for getting a 40-inch bass. Now, tonight, I'm in here doing a podcast when last year on this exact date, I caught my first 40-pound bass this season. So, I mean, there is a little give and take as far as, obviously I can't win every single stage of my previous season, but what I'm trying to get at is many people didn't think I could do it. A lot of people said, this was just dumb luck, you just gotten a lucky bite, you won't be able to pattern this down ever again, that whole thing. And I caught a 35-inch bass, which is like, okay, 35 inches is fine. Then I caught a 40-inch bass. Now, most people don't even think that they're that big a bass around 40 inches, by the way, in as far north as we are. So, or as far north as I was fishing that day. A lot of people have barely even gotten to 30-inch bass. Now, the bigger biomass of fish are showing up right now as we speak. There is an amazing, awesome new moon, and this has got to be my favorite time of year to fish, because you are as likely to catch a 13-inch bass as you are a 40-inch bass pretty much this time of year fishing at night, especially if you're fishing with big bass baits like eels or just any like really large swimming plug. Or I mean, it's just a magical time of year. It's when the bass tend to be their most aggressive, and I feel that it is probably the best time of year to catch a 50-pound bass. Now, especially for us on Cape Ann and even north of Cape Ann, this is a great, great time of year. This new moon is really that first big push of big bass, and getting my first 40-inch, 20-pound bass of the season is so awesome that the weight has just gotten left. I keep hitting it with my water bottle, so if you're hearing some bumping noises, my bad. But it just takes all the pressure is lifted off of me of not knowing if I could actually recreate the bite that I was able to produce last season. And I was able to, and I was lucky and fortunate enough to. So really I want to talk about why there's such big bass where I'm fishing, and how I patterned it down more and refined what I was doing last season. By the way, if the camera's messed up, I can't figure out the white balance here, or the exposure's tripping out too. So my bad with the video recording. I'm pretty dark in the video and the background's really bright, but maybe I can, I don't know, it's just weird. Anyway, that's so annoying. I'm sorry, it's how it's gonna be. Anyway, the fishing though has been very interesting, because the successes for larger bass have been coming out of the rocks. For sure, there's been people taking 40-inch bass. I've fished in places where I've seen 40-inch bass in estuaries. I know guys that are catching them in the exact same spots at night on eels. But here's, not 40 inches, probably high 30s though. And here's the deal. That's a good bite. Yeah, you can pattern that down and whatever. But if you really want to get your first 50-pound bass, you're gonna have to fish off the rocks. You will not get it in the estuaries. That's just not gonna happen. And you can disagree with me, but really, on Cape Ann, I know all the estuaries around here, there's a very small percentage chance that you will get a bass bigger than 44, 45 inches to go back into an estuary this time of year. It happens, and it's not impossible. I know there's probably people out there that have caught their 50s in estuaries this time of year, but what I'm trying to say is if you want to maximize your chance of getting the biggest bass you can this time of year, you want to be fishing off the rocks. In fact, you pretty much want to be fishing off the rocks all season long. Besides, I would say early spring when you're fishing for schoolies, and late fall. I mean, even late fall, you can get into some banger blitzes in the off the rocks. And I caught 40-inch bass all the way up to almost November. So, yeah, I mean, there's some big bass in the rocks all season long. And I think that people are scared to go fish there so early just because the water temps, they seem like they're too cold for bigger fish and they're not going to be, like, in the rocks. But I'm telling you, especially if there's bait, which there was this year, we're going to see big bass. And I'd say bass in the high 30s in April off the rocks. Now, can you catch those bass? There's such a small percentage chance that there are those big fish around. And there's a very small number of them. But did I see a few blitzes here and there where I saw like a 40-inch bass roll on a bunker? 100%. I have a video, like a little GoPro video of me. I don't know if you could see this on the GoPro. And I talked about this in the last podcast. But I'm standing on shore and I'm seeing 20-pound bass feeding on a bunker. And they had to be. And I might have said they were smaller, but they were about 20-pound bass. I mean, they're big, big fish rolling on bunker schools out there. And it's pretty crazy to see bass that big that early, especially that early in the season, because you see a bunch of schoolies, you're mostly catching schoolies, and then you see bigger bass like that, you're like, wow, that's impressive this time of year. And that's what I kept saying to myself. I was like, there's no way that there's actually bass of this size around. But somehow there were bass extraordinarily early off the rocks. And as many of you know that have been doing that fish all spring, the bait has been crazy. We've had small rain bait all the way up to adult bunker, herring, whatever. The usual smorgasbord of bait. But in past years, we've had 10 times the amount of bunker, and which are Atlantic menhaden, and they're adult Atlantic menhaden, and they've been really producing the bite. And it's really difficult to produce a bite when there's a lot of Atlantic menhaden around, because what happens is the bass get really full and then they kind of just hang out deeper in the water. But if you can find a spot where there are Atlantic menhaden schools pretty far offshore, and you have a bass that is hungry, that hasn't really been on those schools of bait, and maybe it was a little earlier in the week, but then they kind of lose those schools of bait and then they come into the rocks to feed. And I have this one spot that every single bass I catch there is long and skinny. And it's funny because I've got bass that are almost 50 inches long, and they're 49 inches, and they're 45 to 48 pounds. Like, they're heavy. They're like heavy fish, but they have the capability of almost being 60 pounds if they're full of bunker or whatever. And that's the thing, like, you catch a bass that's 50 inches, you can pretty much, that fish could be in the high 50s, and 49 inches is not that much smaller. But that's what I'm trying to say, is that that spot produces very long, very, you know, hungry fish. And it does it for the spring. And then I have another spot, which is a little bit more south, that I fish, and these are all very copied, tried and true locations that have certain structure that produces lots of current and lots of wave sweep, lots of white water, and the big bass like to hang out in that white water, and they really love to eat those disoriented, easy meals in that white water. And if you throw an eel in there, it's gonna get smashed, and it's gonna get smashed by a bass that could be 50, 60 pounds. In a spot like that, I have dreams, and the dreams are that I can get into a bass that's in the mid to high 50s pounds in those spots. And I fish with gear that is so strong and so heavy that I feel like I could easily overpower any big bass in that area, and even up to ridiculously big bass. And it showed when I was fighting those 35 and 40 inch bass, just because I was fighting them and I could have held them, and they could have not pulled a click of drag if I wanted them to. And it's just extraordinary to me that I can fish with gear for a bass with gear with that strength. And believe me, I've seen people, I've been next to somebody that was fishing with a, I was fishing with somebody that had a Daiwa dogfight, And what they did is they locked the dragon that Dio would dogfight all the way down. Like, I'm talking whatever it is, 50, 60 pounds of drag. Locked it down. And they hooked a 40-pound bass, and it peeled 30 yards of line out. So it just shows you that, like, even though I'm fishing with a Vanstall VSX 275, big with 80-pound leader, and I measured the drag. I have a whole video, or podcast rather, that I did measure the drag on that Vanstall, and I think it was like 20-25. I think 25 was what it was. And or maybe a little bit more, I'm not sure. But still, 25 pounds of drag, that's a lot. It's nothing compared to the dogfight, though. And when you think about a bass of that caliber still pulling 20 yards of line, that's not that much for a fish like that. But still, like, that's a lot of line at very heavy drag. So when you're thinking about fighting a bass that's 55 pounds, 53 inches, or even 50 inches, rather, then that fish is going. You want to have gear that you can trust that's not going to break in a rock. And I've done countless of podcasts about line and, like, everything under the moon about just how heavy I go and why I go so heavy. But it really comes back around to feeling so supremely confident when you hook into a fish and knowing that you're not going to break off. And that is the thing that I feel is so comforting, because you get so few shots at big, like, truly big fish that you just, there's no point in blowing those shots. And if the fact of the matter is, if you need to be fishing 80 pound braid, 80 pound leader, 100, like 300 pound swivels and 400 pound clips or whatever, I don't even know, but and as big a drag, like heavy drag and everything like that, you're going to feel so confident when you hook into that fish that nothing's going to fail. And yes, knots are probably the only thing that are going to fail you at that stage. When you go that heavy and you get on that level of strength, your knots are going to fail you, and that's going to be your only downfall. And when you get past the point of, like, trusting your knots with your life, then I have no problem. Like, I've fished, what is it? Is it the polymer? No, it's not polymer. It's uni. Okay, so I've been testing this knot out, and I said I was going to test it out, but I've been testing out the uni knot. And the uni knot, for me, is now my new favorite knot when it comes to fishing fluorocarbon, especially fluorocarbon over, 50, 60 pounds. Then I'm going to go with the uni knot instead of the improved clench. And I caught both the 35 and the 40 with the uni knot. And what I do is I tie the uni knot and I burn the ends to the uni knot, and I tap it with my thumbnail just to make a little cap of plastic on the end, so that if it does end up slipping, it's just going to get caught on that, and your knot won't fail. And I honestly don't think that that's going to affect, that knot will not, I've not had it fail yet. I haven't fished it all season. Granted, I've only fished it for a little bit, and especially when I've been only fishing heavy gear, but I've hooked some big bass on it, and I've had my drag locked to the point that a 40 inch bass was not pulling a click of drag until I loosened up a little bit. But that was more on the reason I loosened up. And this is something I really want to talk about, is fish as your drag as heavy as possible. But once you get the bass out of the danger zone, it's just, when you have your drag that tight, you're begging for the bass to shake your hook. And so you want to loosen up once you get the bass out of the danger zone. And what I mean by that is, you cast your eel right up next to a rock. If that thing lands in the water and a 40-pound bass is sitting right there, your eel lands in the water and it looks up and it sees an eel swimming, it's going to pound that, you're going to hook into it, and then it's going to run right behind your rock. And you're screwed if you don't have heavy drag and you can get that bass up to the surface of the water and turn its head so that it only can run out. And that's why you fish so heavy drag in the rocks. Such heavy drag, sorry. And that's why I fish such heavy drag at almost all times. And then when I'm finding say I'm reeling in my eel and I'm in a spot that is not dangerous to me. Like, I can let the bass run 50 yards in almost any direction and feel confident that, you know, that bass is not going to get me in anything. I can just let it you know, tire itself out. Because they're, granted, you want to fight a bass hard and you want to get them in quick. But if you get a bass in instantly, like if I hooked into that bass and flipped him out of the water, because he only ate 10 feet away from me. So if I just burned him in, because if you think about it, a bass has to gain traction into the water to swim. But if you keep its head out of the water, and this is a thing, like if you really want to land a big fish and you're fighting with, and you're fishing with heavy drag and the bass eats it 10 feet away from you and you have the ability to get that thing right by your feet, don't let it turn. Just reel them straight in and you'll get them right to your feet, and then you should be able to leader them and grab them. But the bass is going to be extremely green, and then that can be a nightmare because the bass can thrash around. It can toss you in the water. I believe me, like if you hook in, if you grab onto a bass with a boga grip that's 40 pounds and that thing's green and you're teetering on the edge of a rock and it thrashes hard, it's going to launch you into the water. And so you really want to make sure that you can get that bass where it's not too tired, but it's not going to injure you or the fish or itself, you know, by you not being able to hold on to the fish and dropping it or whatever. So you want to fight it, but you don't want to fight it too long, but you want to definitely not make sure it's too green at your feet. And I'll get into that in a second. Never mind. So I'm fishing this and drag screaming and whatever, because what I did is I hooked up really close to me and I didn't want the bass to shake the hook. I clicked down a little bit on my drag. I went from probably 25 to maybe 15 pounds. It took 2-3 decent runs, and then I got him right in. I didn't fight him too long. The fight was probably maybe a minute and a half. So, okay, when I'm talking about fight the fish, I'm saying give him 2 minutes, give him a minute and a half, but then land the bass. Don't give him 10 minutes or 12 minutes of a fight, you know, because I've heard guys that are catching, like, it's fun to catch a bass in light tackle, but if you're going over 7 minutes, you have problems. You're fishing too light. Unless, like, really, you're fishing too light. You shouldn't fight a fish for, especially a big bass, for over 7 minutes. Then you're kind of being a little bit selfish to the bass. Unless you are fishing light tackle and then you happen to hook a big fish. I mean, that's part of the game. But, you know, if you're hunting a big bass, you don't want to be super selfish to that big fish when you hook into it. And you want to be able to land it and be able to take pictures and release it instead of, you know, because the thing is, if you fight a bass for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or even 20, and then you land the bass, and then you have the bass out of the water for 3 minutes trying to take pictures, and then you try to release the bass and it's not going to survive. So what I do, and this is something that I encourage everybody else to do, is when you're fishing, like in general, I don't care where you are, fishing, whether in your estuary, off the rocks, jetty, whatever, sandy beach, hold the bass in the water unless it's dangerous for you. Be in the water with the fish. Hold that bass in the water. And, you know, if you want to take pictures, leave the bass in the water. If at best case scenario, almost everywhere that I fish has tide pools that have water circling in with the waves either crashing over and into it or fresh water just rushing through it with current, whatever. I have my bass right in the water. I'm fortunate enough to have a camera guy. If you're by yourself, it's a little bit difficult, but I've set my phone up on a rock and I've picked up bass before. I've fallen down doing that with holding fish. It's been a whole thing, but I've had my moments. And you know, like you're holding a 30 pound bass. Last year I caught a 30 pound bass and I'm holding onto this 30 pound bass, trying to take a video of it, or I'm like getting up with it. It's on my boga and it thrashes around and it knocks me off balance and I fall down. I have a video of it. And it's on my Instagram. You can dig around and look for it. But anyway, I'm trying to like land this thing, and I get it into the water. I bring it over to a tide pool that has it in the water so I can keep it in the tide pool. And then what I do is I hold it up. I say my piece for the show. And by the way, this is what I was wanting to talk about. We got the best footage ever. Really, well, not ever, but we got like the best footage I've seen of a bass of that caliber, and in like nobody's even getting this with GoPro footage. I mean, maybe if you're at the Cape Cod Canal, but I'm talking about real, not the Cape Cod Canal, it's not real surf casting, but I'm talking about unknown spots, you know, boulder fields, big waves crashing into you, hooking into 40-inch bass, drag screaming, the like perfect scenario surf casting conditions, and like 4K high quality 60 frames per second footage, and like, oh man, like the most beautiful cinematic footage. And by the way, underwater housing, you didn't get to see this in the first episode of the season of the Striped Bass Hunt Show, but we have an underwater housing, so we're able to get underwater housing of the bass getting released. And I mean, it is out of this world, but look forward to that. And nobody's doing this, you know, nobody's getting footage like this of bass, even on GoPros. So I'm just so excited to share this with you guys. And this is all coming out after mid-July. So after July 15th-ish, we're going to start putting it out. And I'm hoping to get the first few episodes out in late July, maybe early August. And then we're going to be posting every other week, and we're going to be posting a video that we're going to be calling The Breakdown, which is me just talking about what I did during the episodes. And we've gone into this, and you know, ad nauseum, but it just, I'm so excited for what's to come. And we're working with some awesome companies, you know, some really big names too, some really big name companies, and on the show. And I'm excited to, again, drop those names of those big companies that we're going to be working with. One is a dream company. I mean, they're both, I mean, I love everybody that's involved with it, but one of them's really big dream for me to work with them, and to be able to is going to be, oh, I mean, I can't even believe it. But anyway, but we'll get into that. There's going to be a whole nother podcast on that. And, but right now, really what I need to kind of get more into is releasing and reviving Big Fish. Also, I don't know if I should talk about this. Whatever, screw it, I'll do it anyway. Okay, two things that I'm gonna go into. Number one, I'm fishing in an estuary, and this estuary, we have miles on either side. I'm fishing the spot, has the best structure in the whole estuary probably, and obviously it's one of the better spots there. I'm not catching anything, to be honest. So I'm not like, I caught one like six inch bass, but I know there's 40 inch bass here, and I know there's going to be some big bass later that night there. I was fishing it. I knew it was going to be productive. I don't know if they, but regardless, so I'm fishing there. I'm all by myself, and I'm eeling, and all of a sudden I hear splash. And I look to my right, and there's a guy 10 feet to my right. So, first of all, guy, I respect the fact that he didn't, number one, I respect the fact he didn't turn his light, it was at night. So I respect the fact that he didn't walk up with his light on. If he did that, I would have been pissed and probably yelled at him. But, and number two, he was respectful of where I was, and he didn't get, you know, he never tangled me up or anything. But honest to God, don't. And he knew I was there, for sure. Do not come that close to someone when they're fishing, especially if you have miles of estuary. Find your own, like, place. You know, fish 50 yards away from me, but don't walk 10 feet away from me, you know, and fish. Don't do that. And number two, there was a video, and it was a charter video of people releasing a bass. And they had like two 40 inch bass, and the guy chucked it back in the water. And I had somebody DM me and was like, you need to call these people, because I liked the post, because first of all, they released the bass. So I know they didn't release the bass as good as they should have. And I know that those bass, if they are held out of the water too long and they're released like that, and they're probably in New Jersey and the water's probably too warm, and they probably could have died, but they might not have, because they did release the bass, and who knows. But don't come to me, now I had somebody DM me, don't come to me and ask me to put someone on blast, because I'm not going to do that. And also, that is a very crappy thing to do to someone, especially if you have, I don't have a huge following, but I've seen people do that. Don't do that. Now, somebody did say there was a video and this is what happened. Make sure to practice. This is how you should release a bass, whatever. They didn't say who the guy was. And I respect that. And that was a great way about going about it. And maybe I should have done that. But at the same time, I'm not in the game here to go and put someone on blast or say you're fishing the wrong way. I'm never going to go and tell you how to fish. You know, if you're following the law, that which is you can't keep a bass over 35 inches and you're releasing that bass, I'm not within my right to say anything to you. Even if you don't release that bass as healthy as you should, I wouldn't release a bass like that. All I can say is release the bass as best you can, revive it in the water, make sure it's kicking, and then let it go. That's all I can say to you. And I'm not gonna put you on blast. I'm not gonna, go and get in a DM war with someone about this is the right way to hold a bass. It's never gonna happen. As long as I'm following the law, I have no problem with any other fisherman. And that's really what I wanted to say, because I get all sorts of other, I've gotten all sorts of other DM conversations, but that one in particularly bugged me just because, I just felt weird about it, just because it's like, I know I liked the post because the guy released the bass and those were nice quality fish and good on the person for catching them. And they're also on a charter boat. So I don't even know. And those people may have never fished before in their lives. How do I know that they haven't fished before and they don't know the first thing about striped bass and the conservation and where they are in their whole, how the bass fishery is right now. I have no idea if they know that. I don't know if the charter captain said anything, but can you imagine if the guy in the video, the charter captain was like, hey, you got to release these bass because they're over 35 inches. And they were taking video or in pictures of it. And then the guy just threw it back in the water before the captain had, or the mate or whatever, had time to release and revive the fish. And maybe he did to the other fish. I don't know. That's all I'm going to say on that. If that gets back to that guy, I understand why you said that. I totally understand that that's not the way you should do it, but that's all I want to say on that. I thought you guys might be kind of interested in, I don't know if it, because it was a thing, I don't know. Like, there's a few other people that, regardless, that's my two cents on that. And I'm going to move on quickly. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is the way I've been treating my bigger fish when I catch them. You know, I'm not a biologist. I don't know what kills a bass and what doesn't. There's people that say you can't lift a bass up with a boga grip and that will kill them. There's people that say if you take the bass out of the water, they'll die. And then there's other people that are like, that doesn't matter at all. The bass will be perfectly fine. I don't really know where I stand with all of that. I honestly think that like really depends on the size of the fish. And the weight of the bass, if it's super, super fat and you're holding it up on the boga, it might affect some stuff. It might not. I, again, I'm not a biologist and I don't think there's been studies to an extent that I feel like I can trust them. Cause most of it's just like we released four fish with this happened. And then there's on both sides, like I've heard both sides of the story. Where it's like, it's not four fish, but it's not enough that I feel like I can confidently believe either side to it. And hopefully somebody does better studies on it in general. But I do think that the biggest problem with, striped bass fishing in general is we're throwing giant plugs and these giant plugs have giant hooks on them. And those giant hooks are huge and they can go and they can, and when a big fish swallows a thing that's this big and it has all these sharp hooks on them and a bass inhales the whole plug and this gets shoved into the side of its mouth and into its gills and not into its gills necessarily, but or near its stomach and you unhook it, it's not going to be the greatest thing for the fish in the world. But then again, that's the part of the game, you're fishing. The bass are going to have to get hooked in order for you to catch them. You can only do your best after the fact. People go as far. I try to do the best I can. I fish a lot of barbless stuff, especially when I'm fishing for schoolies. And I don't really mess around with when I'm going for anything bigger than 30 inches. Like, if I'm going anything, if I have a plug that I know I can get bigger bass than 30 inches on, I'm going to not go barbless or singles, or unless they're like a swimming, like a SP minnow like plug, you can put inline singles on that. And I honestly think that it's, you're going to have the same hookup ratio as you would with no inline singles on it. And even if you pinch the barbs, I still think it's going to be equal. But I condone doing that. Like, I firmly believe you have a swimming plug, throw inline singles on it, because you'll get the same hookup ratios. In fact, I think the hooks stay pinned better, even if they're barbless. Because I feel like once it gets hooked, the way that inline singles, I think I have one right here, actually, too. Let's see if I can just grab one out right here. The way inline singles are shaped, you know, if they get hooked, like, say this is, like, the bass's lip, and they get hooked around it, unlike a J hook, like that they can just slip right off. These things, the bass kind of, they have to kind of go up and then around it to get out, and it's more difficult when they shake their heads to spit this than it is a straight J hook. I don't know if you could actually see that or not, but I put it up over. Which one is bright here? I'm trying to show this off on the camera, but whatever, it doesn't work. It's fine. You guys saw it. So, yeah, and then I guess I should get into what I was fishing and how I was fishing for these big fish. There's a few things that happened this week, and I keep getting sidetracked because I want to talk about so many different things and releasing fish and making. But really, what I want to talk about is targeting these big bass. That's kind of the whole point of this podcast, is like what I had to do to catch these big bass. And what I had to do was, I had to fish with eels. Eels really catch big fish. So day number one, which was 35-inch bass, which was, I want to say, what is the date? It's the 17th today, which means that would have been last Wednesday. Okay, so last Wednesday, because this is going to be out today, the 17th, but so last Wednesday, we were fishing in a spot, and it was full, and when I mean full of bubbleweed. And that means good things and bad things all at the same time. Bubbleweed brings in a lot of bait, and I feel like I tend to fish, there tends to be a lot of really aggressive big bass around when there's a lot of bubbleweed in the water. But something that is to the negative of bubbleweed is bubbleweed tends to be extremely, extremely frustrating in the fact that it gets in your plugs within 4 feet of your retrieve. You know, like if you're on average, you'll get like 4 feet of clean water before your plug gets like all covered in bubbleweed. And so how do you maximize your ability to catch fish within 4 feet? Now, telling you this much, you're not fishing a live eel. And if you're not fishing a live eel, what are you fishing? You can't fish a plug. I mean, you can. I actually did catch a bass and a shad swimmer, but I had to rip side, like a lot of current coming over one side of a boulder, and then bass like right on the side of that. I landed the shad swimmer right on top of the boulder. I let it drift off of it, ripped it really, like literally ripped the top of my rod up, or like jigged the top of my rod up and reeled really quickly to get that shad swimmer to get the, I got one right here too, to get the, I have a leader on this thing now, whatever, screw it, okay, to get, so I had my shad swimmer, and I casted it on top of the boulder, it drifted over it, I ripped it down so it was below the boulder, and then for literally a few seconds, it shaked a little bit, and then got eaten by a 20-inch bass. It was probably a little over. It was probably closer to 25 inches. And then I proceeded to get seaweed on every cast, and treble hooks and seaweed don't really mix, especially bubbleweed. And so I was like, okay, what do I do? And I happen to have some rigged eels with me. And I was throwing the rig deals out there, two single hooks, a little bit easier, a little less for the bubble weed to get hooked on. I was getting like roughly plus or minus 4 feet of fresh, clean water before I get weed on it. And first cast, literally first cast, cast out my rig deal. First cast, cast out my rig deal, crank it four times, boom, first big fish of the season, because I was catching a lot of schoolies all the beginning part of the season. Then you hook into this one big bass, its tail comes flapping out of the water, and you're like, that's a serious fish when its tail is like that big. And I'm freaking out, like more than normal. Like once I got like the first 30 inch bass under my belt, you can see, like, once we end up putting out the 40 incher, my first 40 incher of the season, you'll see how my mentality towards the bass changed pretty quick. But as in, like, I was so like nervous and excited to reel in that first 35 inch bass of the season. The 40 was much, much more relaxed, which is, it's hard to stay relaxed, but the more relaxed you are, your chances of landing the bass are increased by so, like, it's not even funny how far the margin increases for you landing that fish. And it has to do with so many variables, but I think you think better when you're relaxed as well. And if there's anything that bass does, you think about it under pressure and you're able to react fast enough to hopefully save it. Anyway, so first bass, I really fought it hard, heavy drag, didn't let it pull any drag, kept it up, kept its head out of the water. You'll see, I mean, the fight, I really tried to keep it up and out of the water, got it around, it did a few pulls, really kept it up and out, and then I slung it along the side of the rock with the help of a wave, washed it up next to me onto the seaweed mat, and then I had a nice bass. I didn't really hold it up, I was really focused on trying to get him into the water and get him out quick, and yeah, so I was really like, you know, I revived the bass, I made sure he was all good and released him. And the funny thing is, first bass of the season, 2019, had a deformity inside of its mouth. It was all, like, whole side of its jaw was missing. And that was my first big bass of this season, 2020 season, and it had the exact same deformity. But unfortunately, the bass in 2019 ended up dying. It ate a pencil pretty deep, and it didn't, it was funny because it wasn't bleeding. We unhooked it. It was perfectly fine. We kept it in a tide pool. We were trying to release it, and it just was not getting any energy back. And the water was cool, and it was just not getting any energy back. And then all of a sudden, after 25, 30 minutes of reviving it, it just bled out. It just started bleeding. I don't know how. It just all of a sudden started to pour out blood from its gills, and it died. And that was sad. But it was so skinny. That bass should have been 30. Like 30 some odd pounds, 33, 34 pounds, and it was like 27. It was like a 44 inch bass too. So it's like it was a big fish, and it was not supposed to be, it was an unhealthy big fish. Anyway, this bass, 35 inches, released no problem, kicked water into my face. Super happy with that. Great release, quick fight. Rig deal held up beautifully. Really happy. Made me super happy landing that fish. Okay, fast forward 5 days, maybe a little less, like 3 days. I have live eels, different spot, different tide. I'm fishing high tide here. I was fishing low tide the last spot. I was fishing high tide here, a little bit more out of the water area. And I caught that bass during the day on the rig deal, right at like, I don't know, maybe an hour to 2 hours before like sunset. And it was foggy that day, so it figured that there were some bigger bass around. This one, I think I hooked up on it close to 11 o'clock p.m., 11 p.m. And so it was dark. It was really dark out. And, you know, reeling that rig deal, got one 25-inch bass, give or take. Then reeling that that live eel super slowly for literally 3 hours of nothing. Not even a tap for 3 hours. And then all of a sudden, and then I'm like, whack. And then that bass thrashes at the surface. I'm holding on to it. My band stalled drag. I couldn't loosen my drag. And the thing's thrashing on the surface like crazy. And I'm trying to loosen my drag. I'm not going to go into details any further than that for the show's sake. But anyway, I ended up landing that fish. I revived that really good. We got beautiful footage of this fish. It was a really healthy, really nice 40-inch bass, 20 pounds. Oh, it was amazing. But what I was looking for on that day was clean water. Clean water is very important. What I mean by clean water is I mean clear, not clean of weed. Because if it's seaweedy, but the water is super clear, then it's going to be good fishing. And I want to see wave sweep. So if you're in an area and the rest of the area, there's swells coming through, but there's no choppy, disturbed water, it's not going to be productive. But if you're in a huge area, and I'm talking about, you look to your left, you can see 150 yards. There's nothing really choppy, as in in the distance between where you're fishing. Look to your right, nothing really choppy. But right in front of you, you have choppy water where there's a rock further out and there's waves breaking over that and there's spilling in one side and spilling in out the other. And that's what you want to see. You want to see that turbulent water, and that's where the bass are going to come in and stage up. And it might be hours. And obviously the place that I fished many times before. I knew it was productive. I guaranteed myself either getting skunked or 40-inch bass, and I got the 40-inch bass. And that was my real tell to my ability for last season, kind of transferring over to this season, and how bass ultimately act the same way every single year because they're a predator, and they eat eels, and especially big bass eat eels. And that little nugget of calm water on either side and turbulent water right there, write that down, because that is going to get you your first 40-inch bass if you haven't landed a 40-inch bass, or it's going to open your eyes to a whole new world. Because it's different. There's a difference between fishing into a boulder field where, you know, there's rocks everywhere and there's probably bass cruising and you have a shot at getting lucky at a bass cruising, to then being able to stage up in a spot, know that the bass are going to actually end up hanging out in that area for at least a little bit before they keep moving, because they know that, hey, I can sit here and this wave's going to bring in it's going to bring food in, and there's a strong current to my left here and a little hole to my right, and the bass are going to be hanging out in all of these different spots. There's about 3 spots in this one area, and you just target all 3 of them. There's bass tend to be in one spot in particular, and every once in a while you can get lucky and get a bass on either side, but they tend to be right down the middle, and then you have these waves. I mean, it's beautiful. When you really see the why and you know why and you can feel the current, especially more on the moons, I mean, and you know, like, you in the feeling of that, it's just when you have I didn't know if I was going to catch a bass that day, but I kind of knew, like, I had such a strong feeling that I was going to, that there was, I had a shot of getting absolutely nothing or a 40-inch bass, and I caught 25-incher and then a 40-incher. And that really shows you there's bass, big bass producing spots that don't have a lot of schoolies in them. That's the hardest thing as a beginner fisherman to be able to figure out, is what if a spot is productive or if it's not. Because then next day, fish that exact same spot, got a few schoolies, didn't get a 40-inch bass. So it's really, really difficult to know as a beginner fisherman if there's going to be 40-inch bass in a spot if you're not super tuned to targeting big fish and why there would be a big fish there. Now, there's spots that I've fished that look so good and should look and feel like they should have 40-inch bass around, and then there's nothing, and you've no idea why, and you fish there multiple times, you've given it multiple good tides, and there's just nothing there, and that happens. But most of the time, if there's a good productive spot, there's gonna be big fish there. Or especially a spot with good current and like good place for the bass to stage up, there's gonna be big fish. That's really important to think about right there. And especially as we get into the best time for us in the more northern part of the fishing, or part of the migration. I feel like I'm in the northern half, I guess, the more northern half. Because you have like Maine and then like kind of my area. So it's pretty much that area. And then it's like Canada, Maine, then around here. But I really fish in one area and pretty much more northern than that. I don't really get like up to Cape Cod or down to Cape Cod very often. I tend to stick more northern, but that's just how I fish because I like fishing off the rocks. I'm not a huge beach fisherman. It's just not my thing. But again, trying to learn. I'm trying to learn estuaries, which is the last thing I want to cover before I end this podcast. I have absolutely killed. If you want to bend the rod, and I'm talking about bring your freshwater gear out, because if you want to bend the rod on bass between 6 inches and maybe 30 inches, go to your estuaries in the evening, because I kid you not, I was fishing today and I got probably 40 fish, 35, 40 fish. So that just shows you, and they were not very big. The biggest one was probably 23 inches. The smallest one was probably 5 inches. It was tiny, like that big. And, you know, it just shows you that the fishery in there is just stupid, the amount of fish in there, and which is awesome. If you want to go there and you have like, you want to bring somebody that is just getting into fishing or whatever, go to an estuary, because you can really, especially this time of year, you can really catch a lot of schoolies. But just beware, the flies, the greenheads are coming, the horse flies are around, deer flies, whatever. They're like, it's bad. Mosquitoes and little like no-see-ums. It's a smorgasbord of hell in the estuary right now. But if you want to catch a ton of bass, especially, and then be lucky and maybe get a few bigger bass if you're fishing eels, fishing like little, I call them like shoelace eels, like little like 6 inch, I have a few of them that are like 5-6 inches, and you cast those things with a little tiny circle hook into the estuary, not only do you have a shot at catching many 30 inch bass on that, you have a shot at catching a 40 inch bass on that, which is so awesome. And that you can even, like, estuaries are so fun because they're so calm. It's like fishing a pond sometimes. I was fishing in one spot that was so far up this estuary, and it was so flat calm at night that, like, there's not even a ripple on the water. Throwing a tiny little spook out there, and I'm just working it across the surface of the water, you know. And then all of a sudden, I see a wake from probably, I don't know, 10 feet away. Just like this missile going across the water, this V-wake of missile coming across the water, and then it hits my plug, and it was like a 25-inch bass. And I'm like way back in the estuary, and I'm like playing it, it's drag screaming because of the light drag, and oh, it was a lot of fun. So if you want to get your rod, it like, I personally love catching fish in general. I'm as happy catching bluegill as I am like fish, like striped bass as well. So like, not that I eat freshwater fish at all, but like I do not fish in the freshwater, rarely ever, but anyway, but that's besides the point. What I'm trying to say is, if you really want to get into fishing in the, if you really want to get into a bunch of fish and you want to go light tackle and you want it to be fun, like just pure what I like to call fun fishing, go into the back bays and the estuaries and bring a little soft plastic or a little topwater spook, and you can have an absolutely banger day, because you can get 50 bass in 4 hours, which is kind of what my day was. I think we fished probably 4 hours. There's two of us, and we got 50 fish probably. And I was carrying the team though. And yeah, it was really fun. It was so much fun. I mean, it was funny because there's like sandbar. We were fishing pretty low tide, and then a little channel, and we're fishing with Algag whippet fish. And that's, by the way, it's like I hate that plug so much, like, or used to for like a while. Didn't know, everybody, like, people would rave about this thing, and I'm like, I can't catch fish on this to save my life. I don't know why anybody would ever throw this. And then I go to the estuaries, and the bass in the estuaries are like hitting it with just like everything they got. And so light tackle with that thing, just, you know, casting out there, giving it a few sharp pops, and then letting it drop down and settle right into the channel. Boom, every cast. And you don't know, because, you know, a 30-inch bass is feeling the same as a 15-inch bass when you hook into it, like that tap. So you never know when you hook set if it's going to be big or not. And especially when you have light tackle and you catch like a 25-incher and it's screaming in the current. Oh, it's great. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. And, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. This was a really, it marks the beginning of a very important point in the fishing for the season. It's really gotten back into the swings. This is one of the best parts of the season. And I hope everybody's really starting to catch some monster bass. Or if they haven't yet and they're further north than me, you know, you guys are going to probably start to see some bigger bass really soon. And again, thank you guys so much for listening and watching this podcast. And I'll see you next time.